What I'm going to talk about this morning is something that I'm continually talking about, but I'm going to try to break it down into a little more of a practical way of looking at it, maybe help you to understand yourself a little better. We are complex creatures, human beings, you know. We're hard to figure out, aren't we? God knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, but sometimes we don't know who we are. You know, we're trying to figure out, who am I? Now, we can say, I'm a child of God, and that is true. But as a child of God, we need to understand His ways so that we can walk in His ways. It's one thing to be in Christ, but it's quite another thing to walk in Christ. Some people, they come to an altar or they say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And if they're in a moment where there's faith and they believe, you know, Christ is just waiting for us to open the door, you know. So He will come in. And a person can become born again. The light is on in our spirit. Christ is there. But what we need to learn how to do is how to walk in this life. And how many know that it's way more than just learning principles? Scriptural principles. It's not about me taking the effort to either obey or disobey or to, what's the word, to know what's good and what's bad. Those things the Holy Spirit reveals to us. He lets us know that that's good, that's bad, right? That's good, that's evil. But life is not a matter of choosing the good versus the bad or over the bad. But life is in the Spirit. We are triune individuals. Just like God is triune, we were made in His likeness, in His image. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Three in one. So we have a body, right? A soul and a spirit. So I want to just talk about that this morning, share some thoughts with you and some insights about a little bit more of how we're wired, and so how we can learn how to walk in the Spirit and be more effective in ministry. Each one of us here has been given a ministry. Would you agree with me? No longer are the days where people used to think, well, the minister is the minister. We just sit here and listen to him every week. But the purpose of ministry is to impart, right? And to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. So we're all ministers here in some capacity, right? The key is to be in our ministry and to be functioning in the realm of our anointing where God has called us to. Not to go beyond what God has called us to do, and certainly not to live below what God has called us to. But to walk with the Spirit day by day. So, as wonderful as it is to be a child of God, to be born again, to have the light come on, it's only the beginning. And yet there are many Christians who never go beyond this. They accept Jesus and then that's kind of where it ends right there. And in some cases they go to churches where all they hear about is salvation, salvation, salvation. Salvation is the beginning, amen? The cross is the beginning, amen? The cross is vitally important because that's where life begins. It begins in death, right? Just like Jesus. But we're not to live continually in that place, but we're to live on the other side of the cross. We are to walk in new life, in the resurrection of our Lord. And so when God touches our spirit and when He enters there, it's as if we are an embryo, an egg, a seed. And the life of God impregnates us. Are you with me? And we become spiritually alive. And I wanted to have an illustration today for this, but when we are first born again, folks, your spirit, you know, it does come alive, but it's real small. Okay, it's real small. And What God wants to do, and I'm going to, hopefully I can communicate this effectively, Lord help me, is to help us understand that it is vitally important that we increase the capacity to receive from God. And it has to do with yielding, submitting to the Spirit of God. But there's also something that we must do, and there's some things that we must do in order to build our spirit, to increase our capacity for the Holy Spirit to expand out and through us. Amen? There's a difference. Amen? There are different levels of authority, and there are different levels of spirituality in people. And it has to do with how much we allow God to build us, and we also cooperate with Him in the process of growing our spirit. That's why we want to grow up. It's not enough just to be saved. We want to grow up. Amen? God wants us to get off the bottle. Become adults. So adults are able to reproduce. God has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's freely available. But it's, again, it's one thing to be in the Spirit and quite another thing to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So we need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. Now, many Christians, most of us, we know what's required of us. We know what we're supposed to do. Come on. Some of us are so educated, we can tell you all about it and what you should do and what I should do. But then again, there's that other part of us is how much of what we know is our actual experience. Maturity is taking what we know, amen, and living it. It becoming a part of you. It's not enough just to have the seed, amen. There needs to be birth. So God wants to grow us up. He wants to expand our capacity to house Him and for Him to be released through us. All right. Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says this, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. So it's clear from Scripture that we are what? We are triune individuals, right? We are triune beings. And that God wants our entire being preserved. Yes, your body too. And we're not talking about, okay, eating healthy. That's important. But the Bible says that the day will come when your body will also be glorified. Just like Jesus rose bodily. Amen? The soul is in the process of being saved. And the spirit is alive because of Christ. So there's a process that's going on here. So He says, I want you to know, you know, that and may God sanctify you or set you apart completely, that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we, Paul said, are the what? The temple of the Holy Spirit. The temple had also three chambers, didn't it? An outer court, an inner court, and then the most holy place. The most holy place is a type of your spirit, the place where we meet and commune with God. Many Christians believe that there's just the soul and the body. But actually, we're three parts. And the soul is kind of the in-between part between the outer world, amen, and the spirit world. And the soul is the place in between, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will. So I'm going to try to break it down a little bit today so that we can kind of get a better grip of how this is supposed to work together. Number one, we know that our body is simply our earth suit, right? So we can exist in this environment. In our body, we can do what? We can touch, taste, feel, smell, right? We have our five senses, right? We can hear. And so most of us are very familiar, right? We should be with our body. It's the part that we see. And unfortunately, in too many cases, people are allowing their body, which is like Retha was sharing a while back, the 3-year-old, you know. And it wants to tell you what to do, and yet it's the 3-year-old. And your body is your servant. Amen. It's not to control you. You're to control your body. It's called self-control. Now, your soul is that part of us, that in-between place, the second chamber, if you will, which houses our mind, our emotions, and our will. And that's why we have to be careful about relying on our emotions or even on our own reason. Because sometimes, have you ever had this happen, that your mind fooled you? Your reason wasn't very reasonable. Your emotions got you in trouble. These are not bad things. Your soul is able to connect with a certain world. It's the soul world. The Bible calls it soulish, the soulish world. And yet, this world is not the world we're supposed to be operating out of as believers. I want you to hear this. Because a lot of times that's exactly what's happening. It's the body and soul life that is being manifested. And even, I want you to hear this, even in the soul life, in the soul realm, you can do ministry. You can memorize and quote and argue and debate and study scriptures and teach from the soul. And yet it's only through the Spirit and by the Spirit and out of your spirit that there's going to be connection to the spirit of someone else. So if you operate from the soul, you're going to touch the soul. You're going to touch the intellect. You're going to stimulate maybe somebody and wow them with what you know of your intellectual ability. Are you with me? But unless it's from the spirit, it's not going to produce life. And that's the difference between when you hear a message in the spirit and a message from the soul. And even sometimes soulish messages, yeah, they can get your emotions riled up. You can get people riled up in their soul, but it's not life-giving. It's not life. There is a life in the body. There's a life in the soul. Before we knew Jesus, we were body and soul. Amen? We lived a completely, totally, a soul life. Amen? A body life. And then when Christ comes, the light comes on. You're like, wow. Everything looks brighter. I have a different perspective on things now. And yet, there's a process that begins at inception. Are you with me? There has to be spiritual growth. To the point of maturity. So that God can have a vessel that He can work through in greater measure. It's our responsibility to build ourselves. God does it. It's by His grace. But we have to cooperate in the process for spiritual growth to take place so that there's a greater capacity for God to work through our lives. Are you following so far? And so what we need to focus on as believers, as Christians, is our spirit. We need to know how to divide, according to Hebrews 4:12, between soul and spirit. And the Word of God helps us do that. The Word of God helps us identify, according to Galatians 5, right? The works of the flesh and the works of the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. The Word of God is that light that comes on and begins to expose the works of the flesh, which are the soulish part of us, and also begins to reveal this is the Spirit. This is a fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, right? Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. These things, the good qualities that we are supposed to grow in. So, Jesus said, I came that you might have life, life more abundantly. He wasn't talking about just adding good things to our existing life. He wasn't just talking about, hey, you're going to have it all, mate. You're going to have all the money. You're going to have all of this and all the worldly stuff that you want. No, that's not life, is it? He's life. We want to experience Him. When you have Him, hallelujah, you'll discover what real life is. And so, in Colossians 2:6, Paul said, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. There it is again. First you receive Him, but now you need to learn how to walk in Him. Now, this is the problem we have, is sometimes we think walking with Him is just obeying the rules now. I'm born again now, and now I just need to learn the principles and obey the rules. I want you to hear what I'm going to say. Because if that is what it's all about, then Jesus died in vain. Jesus is a life-giving Spirit. He works in the Spirit. He operates from that realm, from that place. Life is in that place. It's not in a place where we, are you hearing me, can somehow merit grace. It's His grace and His grace alone in the Spirit. So it's not a matter of doing good or doing bad. It's a matter of walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh. It's a matter of living in the Spirit and living out of the Spirit or living in your soul and out of your soul. Do you see the difference? And we need to understand this because we confuse that sometimes as thinking this is God. Sometimes we're operating in our soul and not realizing that it's not God, but it's you. Are you with me? You see, man has soul power. He has an ability in his soul. Even the unregenerate, they have certain ability in their soul that God has placed within every man. He breathed into him the life of, right? Of breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we need to understand the difference here. Otherwise, we're going to be soulish, and soulish equals foolish. To the world, spiritual will appear foolish. Are you with me? People who are walking in the Spirit will appear foolish to them. But to us, when we become truly mature and spiritual people, then when we see the soulish, we're able to identify that and say, that's soulish, and it's foolish. We see the soulish in us, and we say, that's foolish. That's sensual, that's devilish, that's of this world. It's not what God's plan is for me to live out of. So we need to understand and identify what is our spirit. How does it work? You see, most of us we're able to distinguish between our soul and our body. But it's a little more difficult to distinguish between the soul and the spirit. But this is vitally important for us in order for us to grow and to bear fruit. For the word of God is living and powerful, Hebrews 4:12, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. Now, I've heard of a lot of different interpretations of that or perspectives on what is the dividing between soul and spirit. But I think I have the answer for that. And there's a couple answers, actually. But the one I really want to focus on today is that God does not want us to function from the soul anymore as children of God. He wants us to move and operate from the Spirit. That's where there's life. That's where there's transformation. That's where there's change. Because we meet God in the Spirit. You see, God is a Spirit, Jesus said, right? And those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Well, God is a capital S. That means divine spirit. And those who worship the divine spirit must worship Him in little s, right? Spirit and in truth. So spirit to spirit is how we worship, right? When we teach, when we communicate Christ, when we heal, when we are involved in the work of the ministry, it's a spirit-to-spirit thing. When we cast out demons, it's a spirit-to-spirit thing. Demons are spirits, and so your soul, you can shout and scream and whatever and get all emotional about it, but they know if you carry the anointing, if you carry the authority in your spirit, and they know, hallelujah, who you are. Whether you are in Christ or not, or whether you are carrying a certain level of authority. And folks, how many know it's important that we build our spirit man up? And we're going to talk more about that. We look at the examples in Scripture. You know, we look at even Peter as he walked through in his very shadow. When people were touched by his shadow, they were healed. How many know there was a large capacity, amen, in him to harbor and to carry and to release the Spirit of God? Now, I want to just talk a little bit about the three different parts of us. First of all, science, you know, is always catching up to what the Bible already said. And then they're always saying, oh, look what we discovered. Well, why didn't you just read the Bible? It was already there. But scientists, you know, are just, and really what science is supposed to be, or psychology, and psychiatry, psychology really, is the study of the soul. Okay, so they're understanding that we are intricate people, and the book's this thick, by the way, you know, if you just want to take a look at it sometime of even when it has to do with mental illness and all the problems and how the intricacies of the human being, it's so complex. And the problem with a lot of that is that they're focusing on fixing the soul of somebody. You know, you can't. Unless a person is born again, unless the soul comes under the authority of the Spirit, that person's going to continually live in the soulish realm. They're going to continually have their problems. Amen? They may feel good for a season, but it's going to come right back on them. So God wants us to distinguish between the spirit and the soul and no longer live in the soulish realm or operate out of that place. Now, the soul is not something you discard. It is something that's a part of you. Your mind, amen, is not something you want to throw away. Like some people say, well, you don't use your mind at all. Yes, you do. But I'm going to try to differentiate between the mind, amen, emotion and the will, and then the spirit. The physical body, we know we're able to contact the physical world. The psychological part of us, or the mind or the soul, it's neither physical or spiritual. Your soul is, again, it's in between. It's in this place where we experience our emotions, such as happiness, joy, sorrow, anger. In this part, we also are able to think and consider things or reason things out. So it's like this. We think with our minds. We choose with our will. And we will either like or dislike according to our emotions. Okay, an example. You're going to make a purchase, whether it's a car or a house or a dress, or you're going to make a purchase. The first thing you need to do is you're going to start looking around. And what is the first thing that happens? Your eyes get involved, right? And you start to see something and it looks pretty nice. Cherry red, you know. And our emotions get stirred when we see certain things. You ever get your emotions stirred when you look at certain artwork? You ever watch it, see a certain picture and it just kind of like, whew, you get goosebumps. And you have an emotional rush sometimes. Or it speaks to you. The picture actually speaks to you. Your emotions get involved. So here you are. You're in the car dealership. You see this nice looking car. It's like, man, I'd really like to have that one. So your emotions are involved. And then you engage your mind and you say, well, let me think about this. Can we afford to buy this? You know, what kind of shape is it in? Is it something, you know, that's going to be reliable? So you're engaging your mind, your emotions in your mind. And then as an act of your will, you decide, you know what? I think we can do this. Yeah, we may have to eat top ramen for a couple years, but we can do this. And And so as a believer, you then make a choice of your will. But then, as you had made up your mind about something, and maybe the guy's on the phone calling the financiers here to find out if we can get you some funding for this car, something in you rises up and says, don't do it. Something in you is forbidding you to do it, saying, don't do it. It's a mistake. What are you hearing now? That's your spirit. You understand how we need to identify with our spirit. Sometimes there is a confusion that goes on and a battle that goes within us, but often that's how it works. Okay? Let me give you another example. You know God says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. I want you to be a witness for me. So you know and you decide, I want to start witnessing for Jesus. I want to start talking to people about Jesus. All right? And sometimes we make a choice of the will right up front. And then all of a sudden the soul part of you kicks in. And the emotional part of you starts to say, well, that's kind of scary. What if you get rejected? What if nobody listens? What if, what if, what if? Your emotions start to come in. Are you with me? Now, in your spirit, you know what God wants, what God is telling you to do. But your soul starts to kick in, and it starts to come against what God wants you to do. And then in your mind, again, you're starting to reason it out. It doesn't matter if it seems reasonable to us or not. The question is, did God speak to you? Did God tell you to do something? See, this is where we have to deny ourselves, because when Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. But the first thing he said is, let him what? Deny himself. What is he talking about? Yourself is your soul life. It's the soulish part of you that you have to deny in order to follow Jesus. You have to obey the Spirit, amen, mingled with your spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to bear fruit, to be obedient. Because as soon as you say yes to something that God speaks to you about, your soul's going to try to get in the way, and that's why there needs to be a division between soul and spirit. I deny that part of me that opposes what God says is good and what I should do. And we just finished the 21-day fast that we did. And usually during times when we fast, you become a little more in tune with your spirit. Are you with me? Because you're denying your soulish part. You're starving it out, where it has its desires to do this or to do that. And you're saying, no, no. No, you're the servant here. Are you with me? You don't throw it away, but it's subservient to the life in the Spirit, amen, in Christ. So, the spiritual, again, is that part where we contact the spirit world. God is a spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in the spirit world. Spirit to spirit, that's true worship. How many know that just having an intellectual song and sing along and clapping and is not spiritual worship? There are people, many people this morning, all across this nation and churches that are just doing this thing. It's all soulish. They're not making the connection. They're not contacting God in the Spirit. Are you with me? There's a difference. When you contact God in the Spirit, He is a life-giving Spirit, and you will experience His life. And it will captivate your soul and everything and bring everything under that. To where even your soul is now going to obey the Spirit. Amen? Your mind is going to be ruled by the Spirit. All right? So far, so good? Now, this is a part that is difficult for us. Before we were born again, we were soul and body people. Even, I'm a soul man. You know? So, you know, emotional, very emotional. Soul music is very emotional. Not against soul music. I'm just trying to make a point here. But we were soul and body. All right. Now, When the Spirit of God touches us, when the Spirit of God comes in, we become spiritually illuminated. We become alive. But that capacity is very small because we're infants. We've just been conceived, in a sense, you know, spiritually. But there has to be growth. There has to be expansion. But the problem is that our soul, okay, in our soul realm, we're often stubborn and resistant to the Spirit of God. My mind, the Bible says, is an enemy to God. Are you with me? The natural mind is an enmity with God. And so what God has to do is he has to break the soul. Just like a seed that falls to the ground. Amen? It has to die. We have to die to the soulish life so that the seed, amen, that's within us can be germinated and can sprout and begin to break forth out and through the broken soul, amen, and touch the outer world in the earth realm. So the more that a person is broken, the more useful they become to God, because we're our own worst enemies so often, aren't we? We're stubborn. We want it our way. We do it if it feels good. If it doesn't, I don't do it. And we're often disobedient, so God has to allow the processes of this world, it's called suffering, to break us and to position us so now we are humbled before God and dependent upon God. I can no longer put confidence in my flesh like I used to. But that's the best place to be, because now God has someone, hallelujah, that he can work through in supernatural ways. If we want a greater anointing, if we want God to use us in a greater way, we've got to learn how to submit ourselves to the chastisement of the Lord, amen, as sons and daughters, as he's working in us and positioning us, and he's birthing in us something wonderful that he wants to release out of us. So if we cooperate and not get mad at God and run away from God and get bitter at God, and we cooperate with him and know that he's working out something that's far beyond your temporary inconvenience. The temporary thing that's going on right now in your life, even if it's an ongoing thing, there's something that happens when we are wounded by situations and circumstances, whatever it might be. It's God getting us into a place where there'll be a greater release of his glory. And that's why even as Peter would walk by people, there was such a release out of this broken man. Remember, Peter was broken by God. That just being in the presence of Peter, the Spirit of God would emanate from him. And I'm telling you, there's many people I encounter in the church of God and that are just like that. You get around them and you just, Jesus is just oozing out of them. But they're broken people. See, there are Christians that they are genuine Christians. The Spirit of Christ is in them. They have his life in them, but they're unbroken. And unbroken people are usually very caustic and harsh and, are you with me? And stubborn and self-centered. Self being soul-centered is what it means. So Jesus says, that part of you, if you're going to be my follower, and you're going to do the things that I did, you're going to have to deny the soulish part of you. It's going to have to be broken. It's going to have to be rendered, if you will, subservient to the Spirit, so that now I have someone that I can work through safely. And you see, sometimes because we don't want to wait on the process of God and we jump out ahead of God, then we try to operate from the soul realm. Are you with me? And sometimes people fake it. They don't have it, so they fake it. They want people to think they've got it when they don't. Folks, I don't like some of the stuff that I have to go through. You don't either. Right? But I want you to know that God promises, Romans 8:28, that he's working all things together for good. He's got a people. And it's an amazing thing that God works through the broken people to confound people that seem to have it all together, which they don't. They just don't realize it. It's the wounding of your soul. And what does it do? It begins to put cracks, if you will. You get the illustration of your soul begins to crack open. And the life of God, the life of Christ, begins to come forth. And so we need to learn how to release the Spirit when you pray for somebody. The more broken you are, the easier it becomes. Fasting sometimes helps us get into that place. Amen? It's not so that God will hear you because you just abased yourself and you're starving yourself and you look like a wretch and, oh, poor me, God, don't you see how wretched and miserable I am? And God, surely you're going to have to do and answer my prayer because I just look so bad. No, that's not the purpose of fasting. It's to get yourself and get your soul and your spirit in perspective. To get into the position so that God can work in you. And then you start to hear more clearly because your soul, as your spirit is being built through prayer, Holy Spirit, amen, praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. You're building up your spirit. As your soul, man, like Paul says, is perishing. My outward man is perishing. But my inward man is being renewed day by day. He's talking about, I just stay in the Holy Spirit. I pray in the Holy Spirit. I walk in the Holy Spirit. He was a worshiper. So, you know, amen? In the process of brokenness, we also want to be building our spirit. So there's going to be, what? A release of that spirit. And the more broken we are, the greater the capacity. We begin to stretch. We begin to broaden our ability, our capacity, to house more of Him. You see, God is in you, and it says that you are complete in Christ. Okay? But He has to have a vessel that's yielded. A vessel that's cooperating. A vessel that is humble. Because He gives His grace to the humble. But He resists the proud. So if we have pride problems, guess what? God starts to work on your pride. Sometimes you need to be humiliated to be humbled. And when I was young, I used to get upset over the littlest things. You know, I would get embarrassed very quickly. I was very shy, and it didn't take much to get me embarrassed about something. Now it takes a whole lot more for me to be embarrassed. A whole lot more. In fact, I can't remember the last time I was actually embarrassed. Some of you are probably saying, well, you should be. You're such an idiot. But humility is a process. You can't just act humble. Are you with me? That's an act. It has to be real. And, you know, most of the time you can tell the difference. If somebody's acting or if they are truly a humble person. When you're broken and when you're humbled, you don't have to have your way. You're okay to sit down and just watch for a while. Are you with me? I don't have to be in the spotlight. Why? Because my soul life is the part of me that wants to be in the spotlight, that wants to be noticed. That, are you with me? Now, some people never have a problem with that, but others of us do. And so God begins the process of breaking us of these old things and these ways that hinder the work of His Spirit. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you, you know, for example, patience is another issue for some of us. God wants you to become more patient. It's a fruit of the Spirit. So there has to be a greater capacity for that fruit, amen, in you. And the only way to do that is to break the soul in that area, to wound it. And then guess how that comes? Through tests. Through somebody cutting you off in traffic. For somebody getting in your way, somebody offending you, somebody talking about you behind your back. These are all ways, folks. Instead of looking at that and saying, how rotten, how awful, how demonic, say, God, what are you trying to teach me? That's a hard thing to do, but that's what's happening. See, if we're so focused on what's happening to us and our issues, we're going to miss what God is doing. The enemy wants you to focus on your problem and not on what God is doing. Is this making sense? Now, third point I want to make today is we need to exercise our spirit. Just like we need to exercise physically to be in good shape, we have to exercise our spirit. 1 Timothy 4:7, he said, exercise yourself towards godliness. Verse 8, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. What is he talking about? Exercising your spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. So what is he talking about? Praying in the Spirit. He's praying what? In the Holy Spirit. Praying in tongues. Oh, I know some people disagree with me on this one. But Paul said, I will pray with my spirit. Amen. And I will pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding. He's making a differentiation there. Your spirit is praying when you pray in a tongue. Yes. But your mind is unfruitful, your soul. So we pray for our, from our mind. Are you with me? And we pray with our spirit. But everything, even your mind, when you're praying with your mind, it has to be under the authority of the Spirit. Under the control of the Spirit. Because if not, I mean, you know, it can be just a dead, lifeless chatter of words. Have you ever heard a prayer like that? Or it's just kind of like, dusty. I prayed some like that. Maybe you have too. You need to learn how to relax, to be still, to get in touch with your spirit where the Spirit of God is. Spirit to spirit, that's true worship. That's why we have to guard our spirit too, guard our hearts. Because the enemy wants to also meet you. He wants to deceive you. Again, remember this, the Christian life is not about just obeying the rules. But it's living in and walking in the Spirit. I gave you a couple examples, hopefully helping us to identify the difference between our soul and our spirit. But a biblical example, of course, is Adam and Eve. Right? When the woman saw, in verse 6 of chapter 3 of Genesis, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. What happened? Eve's emotions were stirred when she saw. Are you with me? It was pleasant to the eyes. It was forbidden, but her eye gate got involved. Amen. She began to lust after it. Lust of the eyes. And then her mind reasoned. When the enemy helped her, of course, she started to reason in her mind, started to kind of question if God really meant what he said. What's going on? This is the soul. This is going on in the soul. Perhaps God was concealing something from her that could keep her from becoming wise, to become a god. And then eventually what her will was engaged. She reached out, she took and partook of the fruit and gave to her husband. Her will eventually engaged, and then we have the problem. What did they do? They both had to ignore the voice of truth that was speaking to them. You know that in their spirit, it was crying out, don't do it, don't do it. But they began to reason in their soul. God gave us the capacity to make decisions, to be creative, to think for ourselves. Because he didn't want us to be, right, remote control people. He wanted us to have individuality. But God's desire was that we would have relationship, be married to him, walk with him, enjoy life together with him, and yet have the freedoms as well that we you know, as we're walking with him, to live within a certain realm, you know, of acceptability, because there are standards, there are boundaries that God places on our lives. And so, you know, like Paul said, nothing is unclean of itself, really, you know, except that if a man esteems something as being evil. Now, you and I can do good things, and yet those good things can become bad things because there are things that our soul desires, and yet the Spirit is saying it's not for you. Others might be able to do those things and not have their conscience pricked or have a problem with it, but folks, you got to listen to your conscience, right? So sometimes the good things that we have in life, the Spirit of the Lord steps in and he says, I want you to cut that out of your life. It's hindering you. And it's hindering me from working through you. There's the battle. The spirit and the flesh. Are we going to yield to the flesh, or are we going to deny the self that we might follow Jesus? Every day we're confronted with these same things. And this is the key. The key is to build your spirit man. Constantly stay, amen, built up spiritually. So that his voice overrides all the noise, the confusion, the desires, the wants, the sinful inclinations, amen, in the soul realm. This is the problem. Many Christians do not know how to walk in the Spirit. And so they live as a believer with just a little tiny capacity for God. And the soul life is what's ruling. And so God, again, he has to take them out to the pasture. And he has to spank them and he has to break them in certain areas of their life so that they will come, amen, into a place where now they can receive the full blessing and benefit of God. He wants to bless you. It's not about taking away. It's about adding to your life. That which really satisfies, that which really means, I mean, everything. The greatest, the superior reality. So it's worth it. It's worth denying ourselves to take up our cross to follow Jesus. In 1 John, we're going to finish with this, and we'll take it up tonight. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Remember this, the teaching of right and wrong is found in every religion. But Christianity is not a matter of right and wrong or good and evil, but it's either living from your soul or from your spirit. Living in the flesh or living in the spirit. When we live in the spirit, when we walk in the spirit, we have life and peace. Amen? So build your spirit man. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I really want God to build me up. I want to grow. I want a greater capacity. I want to bear more fruit. I want to just be abounding in fruit. I want to bear much fruit, like Jesus said, so I can glorify my Father. Would you just talk to the Father right now and ask him, Father, I ask you to do that work in me, to bring me into the place where I will be a vessel of honor, that I'll be fully prepared for every good work. Abounding in the grace of God, abounding in the love of God, Lord, I want to be an overflowing Christian. Lord, I want Your life to permeate me and saturate me and flow out of me and touch and heal and deliver those around me. Lord, teach me how to walk with You.